Stuart's about to read to us from Psalm 104. I want you to listen to all the images of water that are in Psalm 104 and listen to it and realize, just think about water as you know it, that beautiful water, water that is the gift of life, which is what this walk that I'm wearing this t-shirt for was all about. But water in that flowing form is only one form of water. When we freeze it, it becomes solid. It feels death-like to many a person. In fact, when a person dies, they will sometimes say they're icy, they're cold, like water frozen. And yet, that is merely a station in water's life. And when water heats up and it becomes steam and it evaporates and moves out into the universe, it's as if what must happen with our spirits when we cross that veil and our spirits can are free to go wherever. Water is itself a symbol of resurrection. So listen to these images of water that populate this reading from Psalm 104. Stuart?
Let my whole being bless our God. God, how fantastic you are. You are clothed in glory and grandeur. You wear light like a robe. You open the skies like a curtain. You put gushing springs into dry riverbeds. They flow between the mountains, providing water for every wild animal. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Overhead, the birds in the sky make their home, chirping loudly in the trees. From your lofty house, you water the mountains. The earth is filled full by the fruit of what you've done. You make grass grow for cattle. You make plants for human farming in order to get food from the ground and wine, which cheers people's hearts, along with oil, which makes the face shine, and bread, which sustains the human heart. Our God's trees are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon, which God planted, where the birds make their nest, where the stork has a home in the cypresses.
Water, the tool of resurrection. Those trees of Lebanon, those birds in the branches, the gushing streams that create the wine that makes us happy, none of that exists. All of that just becomes death without the water that breathes new life into it. And it becomes that of resurrection, of newness, of evolving change. It's all around us. Sometimes we humans are pretty convinced of our intelligence. We're convinced of our intelligence, so convinced of our intelligence that we think that we understand the way of the world really well, and we can only look around and see the world that we live in, see some of the struggles, see where our hubris has gotten us to. That sense that we must be more intelligent than anything else. And so I find it so fascinating in the book of Job, 38 long chapters of lament. In the middle of the book of Job, there is this portion where his friends have come to be with him, and they have given him wisdom that has given him nothing to hold on to, that has only made him feel horrible, as if his life is not horrible enough. And so Job responds to this human wisdom, this human hubris that seems to know everything, and he says these words that we will read in just a moment from the book of Job. That you, Stuart, again? Thanks.
But ask the whales, and they will teach you. The birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or talk to earth, and it will teach you. The fish of the sea will recount it for you. Among all these, who hasn't known that our God's hand is in this? In whose grasp is the life of everything, the breath of every person?
I love that. Ask the whales, and they will tell you. Ask the birds, and they will tell you. Ask the plants, ask the earth. Ask for the wisdom that has been there for billions and billions and billions of years, and it will tell you, and it will tell you that everything that has been created has the imprint of God upon it, that the hands of God have helped to form it. It will tell you that everything that has been created breathes the breath of God, and that for the entirety of the universe, ask, that which has been created, and it will tell you that truth, that there is resurrection that happens over and over and over. We know this truth every time we go to a sunrise, that we have watched the shadows of last night disappear and the opportunities of the new day appear. We know this when dog brings our banyan Keiki right here, Mary, Mary, and Mary back to our altar. We know this every time because that tree was dead and it is not. It is not. We know this every time we take our compost and we take yesterday's rotted fruit and vegetables and we allow it to do what it does, and out of it comes the abundance of tomorrow. We know this truth every time, everywhere, every time we take a seed, a little hard surface seed, and we put it into the ground and watch what happens. This is what is happening in the Gospel of John with our last reading here.
Some Greeks were among those who had come to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and made a request. "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the human one to be glorified. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed, but if it dies, it bears much fruit."
At that festival, it says, at that festival, that's the Passover festival. That's the Passover festival in which Jesus has the Last Supper. It's the Passover festival in which Jesus is crucified. It is at that festival. There weren't just Jews, there were some Greeks, there were people from around the world that were coming, and they had seen Jesus and they saw a kernel of truth, and they said, we want to hear it. And Jesus summarizes all the truths that he has been teaching. All the truths that he's been teaching for these Greeks, for these foreigners, for the people that are gathered before him. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it will simply die. But when it falls into the ground and dies, it will come forth and bear much fruit. Resurrection, that which we celebrate on Easter Sunday as we watch what happens as Jesus dies and comes back in a way which changes all of our lives, is the very way of our world. We see it time and time and time again. And the only thing that gets in the way at times is indeed our human hubris. In the book that Ben has written, he asked me to write a piece. I wrote a piece that I will not bore you with, but it is a testament to human hubris that has helped to create the world in which we are in which there is an abundance of debris and trash, climate verging out of control, inequities and injustice, because somehow we haven't listened to the way of the creation. Ben, in his brilliance, has found a way to demonstrate for us as well that even then, in the midst of the trash and the rubbish and everything else that can sometimes overwhelm us, resurrection is possible. Is that not what we see in this drum right here? Is that not what we see in all of these instruments? Who knew that a boba straw could play such amazing music? So Ben asked a number of folks to share and to think. And one of those was our own Val Wayne. Where is Val? Can we pin her for just a moment? There she is. Professor Wayne. Professor Wayne and I had a wonderful conversation early this morning as she was taking me through the entire history of poetry in 10 minutes. But that's what I asked her to do. That's not what she was doing. And she wrote a poem. She wrote a poem that is paired with the song that you had the kids singing, right? And we're going to sing it in just a minute. And it's a poem, so I want to introduce it. So Val says the inspiration came from this poem written 100 years ago. How convenient. By a poet, William Carlos Williams, who in 1923 wrote a poem called The Red Wheelbarrow. It is an example of Americanism in American poetry. I see Professor Wilson is also nodding. It creates a single image using simple words and very ordinary language. And so this is how the red wheelbarrow goes. The red wheelbarrow, so much depends upon a red wheelbarrow, glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. Then it goes on. And what Val does, she says, I thought of Williams when I was writing a poem for Ben, because he creates his instruments and music from the most ordinary things possible. So I stole the first two lines of Williams and went on to what Ben was doing. And so this is what Val wrote. My apologies to Val, because I know that she would read it much better than I. But coming out of COVID, she has very little voice right now. So much depends upon a tin can of cat food. Cables attached or something else snatched from a desk or a dump or a bicycle pump. To plick or to pluck, to stroke or to strike with chopsticks or string, almost anything to make the mystery of rhythm and sound and music go round. To ring, and then to sing a long mahalo for junk and string and everything. I love it. I love it because it talks of the debris of our lives. And our lives sometimes are not just the trash that is out there. Our lives sometimes feel like trash, like we've been hurt, like we've been hurting, and we find a way. There is a way, because resurrection is the way to take that trash, the debris of our lives, the detritus of our lives, and bring new life into it. May the day be when we are gathered together and Ben is not having to make musical instruments from the trash that has been put off to the side, that Ben is able to make musical instruments from all of God's creation, because we are valuing God's creation for all that it has to give us. But that day may not be here until here it now. So until that day comes, let us take that resurrection message and let us take the things of our lives and make them all new, all light, and all love. So Ben, you wanna lead us in song?
Before we sing, we are going to build a tree. Okay, it's two steps. The first step when you undertake any sort of project of magnitude is to acknowledge graciously the gift that is freely given and ever-present all around us every moment of our lives. And that's the oxygen outside, inside, everywhere. So let's take a breath together, ready? That's a gift from the trees, from the grass, from everything outside. And we will give back our own gift of carbon dioxide. Ready? Breathe in first. That carbon dioxide will be ingested, will be absorbed by our friends outside, becoming the very fiber of their being, becoming their bark, becoming their branches, their trunks, their wood. Kumbu from the Big Island, Ke Kuhi Ke Ali'i Kanaka Ole, has this wonderful saying that's Iola oi, Iola ma ko ne, right? When I thrive, you thrive, or my life is dependent upon yours, your life is dependent upon mine. So I think of ha loa, right? That eternal breath that we exchange with each other when greeting, but also with the plants that we're exchanging all day, giving back, receiving this gift, this breath, this eternal breath of life, haloa. So the song, there's some lyrics up there. There are some, just some notes. This mantra, Iola oi, Iola ma ko ne, sort of was part of the inspiration of this song. The idea that we are never alone, in verse 3. And that is a reference and acknowledgement of this reciprocity that's happening all day, every day. There's nothing I can do that's me, an individual, standing here on my own two feet, taking credit for everything that I've done, because my very breath is dependent on my neighbors outside these walls that are giving constantly. Yeah? We're never alone. We're always part of this exchange. So the nod to family is that recognition. It's human family. It's also those birds outside. It's the grass. It's the trees. This community that sustains us, that we give back to. Humans like to think that we create life by procreation, but it's also by breathing. By breathing, we give life. We also accept the gift that is given to us. So this tree that stood outside the banyan tree for 88 years stood adjacent to the church, breathing with us. All of our songs, all of our prayers, all of our cries, our laughs, our conversations, our sermons went outside those windows and were absorbed into the fibers of that tree's physical being. Yeah. It's a repository. And the tree is gone, but not gone. It's not away. There's no away, no matter whether we want to send somebody away or not, there's no away to which something or someone can be sent. There's always this back and forth, giving, breathing. And so that is the goal of this song, to recognize some of that exchange. So let's build a tree. All right, to do so, everyone take a breath. And I'm going to call up my percussionists to come up, and they're going to start us off with some percussion. So if you remember what you were playing, I will also reintroduce the rhythms. The lyrics are up here, but they are also there in the bulletin. That's probably too small to read, but I wanted to give some of the imagery of Val's poem and the instruments, but you can see them here too. All right. So you already know how the song goes, but let's add some. Okay, so your part goes like this, to be in. A little more complicated than the kids' version, but you'll get it. Hey! 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 And one more time. One, you're in the part of the bold.
I'm so glad that we got today. We've got today. We've got today. I'm so glad that we got today. 'Cause you and I, we're gonna find a way. And your part, find a way. Find a way. You and I, we will find a way. Hey, 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 hey. And one more time. Hey, 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 hey. I'm so glad that we belong, we belong, and you belong. I'm so glad that I belong, 'cause everyone can join the song. Join with me. Join our song, join our song. Everyone, come on and join our song. Hey, hey. Time now, verse 3. I'm so glad that I got a home, this home. I got a home, and you got a home. I'm so glad that we got home with family around. We're never alone. Breathe it in now. Never alone, never alone. With family around, we're never alone. Verse 4. I'm so glad that we belong together. We belong together. We belong together. I'm so glad that we belong together. You and I, we're gonna make it better. Make it better, make it better. Take a sad song and make it better. Hey, hey, hey. Last time. Hey.